Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
Looking pretty good, actually, the human condition tonight. You're with Stephen O'Doherty tonight, sitting in for Lee for the last time. Lee is back. Lively debate going on the Open House Facebook page about the issues that we've raised tonight. Some difficult conversations we've had. That's included marriage equality, euthanasia. We've talked about the Royal Commission. And that's very fitting as we continue our series on difficult conversations with Lynn Worsley. Hi there, Lynn.
Hi. Good to be here again.
Indeed. Last week we looked at preparing ourselves for these difficult conversations. And the way you were speaking last week, all we needed to prepare for the conversation, we all need to prepare for the conversation, whether we're the victim of something that's happened to us or whatever's going on, we need to mentally gear ourselves up, don't we?
Yes, we do. And really, before we have any difficult conversation or any conflict conversation, we need to actually do the work on ourselves. So no matter how well the conversation begins, you need to actually stay quite in charge of yourself before you go, because really one of the worst things that can happen is that your emotional energy takes over. So to be actually be centered in the process of that conversation is one of the most important things that you can do. If you've been a victim of somebody's bad behavior, by choosing a calm or a centered state, you'll help your opponent or the partner that you're having a conversation with to be also more centered. It also gives you a little bit more power if you are the victim, if you are calm. And also they'll be less defensive if you're able to be less aggressive with the way you speak to them. So centering is really not necessarily a step, but it's really how you are as you take the steps in having the conversation. It's also worth remembering that the act of having a difficult conversation takes a lot of courage, but it also puts you into a very strong position. And if you're the victim, it's helpful to do that. But if you're the person who's also hurting someone else by having that conversation, which is essentially the times when we do have those conversations, it's very helpful and courageous to step forward and show humility in the process of having that conversation.
Indeed. Well, we know how to prepare for the difficult conversation. We're centered. So how do we have the conversation?
Okay, Stephen, it's really important, really simple to have some sort of prompt for me. I always think I've got two hands on my end of my arms, and one hand I can think about as being, the difficult conversation that goes wrong.
That'd be the left hand,
of course. That'd be the left hand. And on the right hand, I think of the difficult conversation that can go right. Now, this is a work from a very...
By the way, Lynn, around Australia, left-handed people are saying, how dare you?
Oh, sorry. If you're left-handed, it's the right hand. Okay.
Anyway, we've got good cop, bad cop.
Okay. This comes from the work of a really great psychiatrist called Ben Furman in Norway.
Okay.
And he refers to the two types of conversations, and one would send you into a negative direction and one would send you into the positive direction. Same conversation or same topic. So let's start with the bad hand first, or the bad cop.
Yep.
And I'll show you what it looks like, and then we can go through the good hand. Okay. So, with the 5 points, we start with the thumb. Remember, this is what you don't do. And I'd like to say it's what we most often do. So, we'll use the example of a parent having a difficult conversation with an adolescent, for example. Okay? So, you say to the person, hey... Any conversation is difficult. Hey, you say, hey, I want to speak to you, like you demand them. Like, come here, I want to talk to you. And the second finger, you mention the problem straight away. You say, so it's, you know, you're not doing your homework.
Right.
So basically, I'm going to tell you about how you're not doing your homework.
Yeah.
And that's such a problem. The third finger is that you give examples of how it's affecting them. So you say, you never do your homework. And I notice that you're lazy with other things as well. And you find a whole lot of evidence to support that cause. So you're lazy, you don't do your chores around the house, and you generalize the problem to mum, some sort of huge problem. So now it becomes bigger than just you're not doing
homework. You're a worthwhile human being, worthless human being generally.
Yeah. Yes. And then the next finger.
By the way, this is the way not to do it.
This is not how not to do it. The next finger, the fourth finger, you then give the consequences of the problem. So you say, if you don't do your homework, you'll never pass your exams and you'll never go to university and you'll never get a well-paying job and you'll find it really hard to find someone who will want to marry you because you're so lazy and look at your father, you bring that in. just pass that on. Okay, so that's how the conversation goes.
Right.
And then the final finger is you dish out the punishment. So you're grounded now for 3 weeks because you didn't do your homework.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is this a familiar conversation?
Only that when at the end I would always realise what I'd said to our boys. So when we got to the fifth finger, I'd always say, and so you're grounded for the rest of eternity and I'll lock you in your room and you'll never have any, because I felt I've just got to break the tension.
Yes.
All right, so let's say we're all guilty of that.
And this is where the emotions just take over and we all do it.
Mm.
But really, at the end of that conversation, do you think the homework's ever going to get done? And really, has anything been achieved?
I think we know the answer to that.
Yeah.
So let's move on to Mr. Friendly Hand.
Okay. Now, one of the situations that we can look at is how you can have a positive conversation.
Yeah.
So first of all, you have your first finger, which is the thumb. And the thumb, instead of saying, demanding a conversation, I want to talk to you, you actually ask, look, is it okay to have a chat? Is it okay to talk to you? When is a good time?
Mm.
Now, by just doing that, you're requesting or you're actually acknowledging that this person's got a life.
Mm.
And that they're not at your whim.
You're giving them some agency.
You're giving them some agency. So, and you're also ready to wait.
Mm-hmm.
And so the next finger then, the first finger, you say, you might mention the common goal. And this is the key to a good conversation ever, to actually mention where you want to go with this conversation. What is the value? What is the reason? What is the whole cause of this conversation? The preferred future. The assumed positive goal. And for example, with the homework, mention that your child would like to do well. Look, I know that you really want to do well at school, and I know that you'd really like to be able to get a job or, go well in the future. I know that. Now, even that makes me feel like sometimes you don't look like you know that, but I'm assuming that you know that. And for all of us, we'd really like for you to do well and to feel good about that.
Mm.
So mentioning that is a really good start. Then the third finger, instead of mentioning it as a problem, you mention the things that help the future to occur. So instead of saying you're not doing your homework, you might mention it in terms of a really good way of getting through some of the work is to do your homework or practice things or practice doing your maths over and over again, because that actually helps you to do that work. So you give it a different frame. And when you say that, you mention it as a bit of a roadblock and notice that you're having some difficulties getting to some of that work that you need to do.
Yes.
Then the fourth finger, instead of just dishing out the consequences, you say, have you thought of a way of getting that done?
Yes.
What have you thought of? So straight up, you've got a conversation because there's an assumption that they want to do something about it. And straight away, there's an assumption that there is, this other person has actually got some ideas. So they might come up with, I was thinking maybe I might do it on the bus on the way home, or thinking that maybe I do it in the library in my free period at school, or I'm thinking that, maybe while I'm waiting to do soccer training.
Mm-hmm.
Now, those things are, assuming that they've actually thought of it.
Mm-hmm.
And the little finger is you mention the consequences of doing the homework. Or doing it. You say, well, you know what, if you managed to get that done, you'd have more time to go out with your friends and you'd have more time to be able to do the things that you want to do.
So you're introducing some reward into the...
Yes.
Yeah.
So all you're doing with the right hand there is actually painting a picture of the preferred future, painting a picture of how that's going, how that would go, and that the behaviour you think would be... good to go in that direction.
Lynn is able to take some calls from you tonight. If you've got a difficult conversation you'd like to prepare for, talk through it with Lynn right now on the phone, then hit the phones now. 1300 40 2020 is our number here at Open House. 1300 40 2020. I can see now, Lynn, why you brought in a Freddo frog for the production team. That's a fifth finger thing, right?
Yes, it is. It's
okay,
been nice.
I get that. All right, so looking at the positive way, is it not avoiding the problem though?
Well, it's not at all really. It's what it does is it takes you away from the problem. Because when you look at the area of positive psychology, in particular solution-focused therapy, which is primarily the therapy that that I practice.
This is coming out of the positive psychology movement, right?
Positive psychology movement. Yeah. Well, it's actually, I think the positive psychology movement came out of the solution therapy.
So jurisdictional problem. Yes, well, sorry.
But really what they say is that the solution to the problem often has nothing to do with the problem.
Yeah.
So you can have a problem and spend all your time analyzing that problem and looking at how awful that is and having a conversation about how bad it is. And, you know, all you get good at is having a conversation and understanding what the problem is. But if you spend a lot more time looking at this preferred future or thinking about where you would like to have instead of the problem or what would be happening if the problem wasn't there, if you spend a lot more time with that, you'll actually find that you've got much better skills at doing the solution than doing the problem. And when you work with children, and which is what I do a lot of, you often find that their solutions are way different to where the problem is. So the solution to the homework example may be simply that, you know, they need to have lunch in a different bag, and then they can remember to put their homework in their bag differently. You know, it's as simple as that.
Okay. If they do get to that stage, though, and they're so disengaged from the process, that they might say, look, but there's something inside me, I just cannot face doing it. I mean, at that point, they've got a more difficult issue, haven't they?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And, you know, is this regard to the homework, mean? Or,
yeah.
It could be, yes.
You know, there's a block or there's a...
There may be a block.
Yeah.
But you're not going to get anywhere by having a conversation spends all this time looking at the block.
Certainly not. But that's the point at which you'd probably say to them, let's try to think of some things together. Is there somebody we could talk to that might be able to help you overcome this block?
Yes. Yeah? Yes, it may be. It also may be what's it like when that block's not there? How would you see it? What would be different in your life if that block wasn't there? When have you noticed a time when you're actually able to do the homework that you wanted to do and you wouldn't even worried about it?
Okay.
And generally you'll start to find that the solution may be that they'd prefer to play their music before they did their homework, or they like to play a little bit on Facebook and before they actually did their homework.
1-300-40-2020 if you'd like to discuss some difficult conversations with Lynn. So we've mentioned a couple of examples that are not that profound, unless you happen to be the person who can't do their homework tonight. What about, let's test a few ideas then, relationships, breaking up with somebody.
Yes.
How do you have that conversation?
Now, that's a difficult conversation, and generally people will avoid that for a long time, and perhaps, you know, these days put it on Facebook or send somebody a text message and break up that way.
That's
which is a coward's way out, really.
Yep.
But to have the difficult conversation and mention, you know, we need to talk, when's a good time that we can talk, and that person's then able to prepare themselves, you know, what does he want to talk about? Is he going to drop me? Is he not going to drop me? The second one is to mention that, look, I know you want to have a really good relationship. I know you really want to be close, and I know that you want to spend time together. And the third finger, the roadblock, is that, you know, I'm finding I'm not quite there for you. I don't feel like I'm really in touch with you that I'd like to be. And I'd really think that you'd be better to have someone who could be more in tune with you. Then we move to the have you thought about that as well? Have you felt that I wasn't there for you? Have you felt that I wasn't the person for you? And they might say, no, I thought you were the one. Say, well, then at least you know where you stood. Or they might say, yeah, I noticed that you weren't with me. I thought maybe, I defended you or something. And then the fifth one is, well, the consequences of breaking up is that, you can go and find somebody else.
You can be free.
You can be free, and we could be friends.
And here's a Fredo Frog.
But it's a difficult – you're not going to make someone feel better.
No.
But you're certainly going to give them a lot more respect.
Something that they're looking towards rather than pulling them back. Okay.
And the consequences of that too, Stephen, is that they can then go on to another relationship and they can see that somebody – that they're worth it, that they may be somebody who is able to have a good relationship in the future.
Well, moving from one job to another, telling the boss that you're going?
Well, that's always a difficult one, particularly if you're a valuable member of staff. And to go and tell someone that you've, you know, actually been applying for other jobs when no one else was aware of it, that's always a difficult one. And to drop that on a boss is always hard. I know that from my perspective as being a boss, it's always difficult as well. With that one, again, you start with, you know, can I have a time that is worthwhile talking with you? When's a good time? And then go and talk to the boss quietly about, you know, I know you really like to have this job done well. I have really enjoyed the work that we've got here. I really like the future that you put in place, and I like the organisation. The third block is that, I like it so much that I've actually found myself growing and moving on somewhere else. I also would like to try and find another place that I'd like to fit in, and I just need to tell you that I'm leaving, but I'd really like to show you that I've appreciate being here. So it's not like I'm leaving and I'm not going to tell you. I'm actually going to tell you in a way that tells you about the good things in this place.
Yes.
And then the fourth finger is that then have you thought of, you know, other options of other people to fill my position, or have you thought that I wasn't performing as well as you'd like, and all that sort of stuff. So again, you've got that conversation, which means like the other person's able to say, look, I wasn't even aware that you were thinking of it, or I had thought that maybe you were thinking of it because I noticed that you dropped your game recently, or I did get a reference check last week.
So you're out of here.
You're out of here.
Well, Lynn, I don't know quite how to break this to you, but I'm looking at my left hand, my right hand. I'll go with my right hand. I've so much enjoyed your time with us tonight, but unfortunately we need to move on, and it's nothing to do with you, and I'm going to keep this chocolate.
Yes, you keep the chocolate frog.
Lynn Worsley, thank you so much for being with us, and we look forward to hearing you next time with Lee. Lynn Worsley, around Australia, you're listening to Open House.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.